First, are you a hardcore fan of a TV show, a movie series, a game, whatever? Or are you a fan who feels a little bit scared off by those hardcore fans?
Often when we think of fan communities, either online or in real life, it's the super committed convention-attending fans dressing up as their favorite characters that make the picture.
But what about all the other people who like a geeky thing or two, but not the whole package? Do we have to have enough geek cred to call ourselves true fans?
And what happens to fans when they don't match the stereotypical demographic of fandom because of their age or their gender or their race?
Kedra Chaney is a pop culture critic, essayist, and co-founder and publisher of The Learned Fangirl, a website that focuses on pop culture, critical writing, and academic scholarship about fan communities. She's written about pop culture and social technology issues for a lot of publications. Her piece, Confessions of an Adjacent Geek, was published in Uncanny Magazine. Kedra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Will you start your piece? And I want to start here with the person who introduced you to Star Trek, your mom. Can you talk about your mom and her relationship to Star Trek fandom?
Sure. So I started the piece talking about this past Thanksgiving. I was talking to my mom while we were watching a rerun of Star Trek The Next Generation. And I remember thinking that I like to call myself a second generation Trek fan. And my mom was the person who really introduced me to Star Trek. She always talked about watching it while she was pregnant with me, the original series, and then watching Next Generation with her growing up every Sunday afternoon. But I never really thought of her as a Trekker or a Trekkie, and she never really called herself that. So I just asked her out of the blue, like, do you consider yourself a Star Trek fan? And she basically was like, well, no, not really. But then we spent the next 20 minutes or so talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine and just like the Star Trek lore. So she is to a certain extent, but she doesn't self-identify as one. So it got me thinking about kind of fandom and identity and what it takes for somebody to really embrace a part of fandom as a core part of their identity or even a peripheral part of their identity. And then the essay just kind of went from there.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, even if you're a big fan of something, you watch a lot of Star Trek or Star Wars or what have you, there's always a bigger fan than you out there, and it becomes this question of, well, do I have the credentials how to be a true fan? Why do we think of it that way?
Oh, I think it's interesting because I feel like this has always been an element of fandom. There's always that idea of like what makes you a true fan, what makes you a hardcore fan versus a casual fan. But I think now, especially with social media culture specifically, it creates this flattening of experience where people really come in kind of feeling like they're at the same level. And so you see fans who like spend 24/7 online living and breathing fandom. And so it's easy to feel like you don't compare if you have somebody who's like their entire online persona is dedicated to being part of fandom. But I think that element has always been there. I think there's always a kind of gatekeeping that happens with certain communities of fans that feel like you have to pass certain rules to be invited or to feel like you're really a part of something. I just think it's exacerbated now by the way that social media kind of makes what you consume a part of your identity by the default.
Well, I had pulled this tweet from last month that got a lot of attention from, you know, a Star Wars fan. I'm quoting here, seeing the Star Wars movies does not make you a Star Wars fan. Actual Star Wars fans have done some of the following. And then they give a list, you know, read the novels, read books, read some of the comics, watch the animated shows. It goes on and on. So there you are, social media people trying to give explicit rules that say, yeah, you're a fan, you're not a fan. I don't know. It seems like if you're a hardcore fan, you'd want to welcome, you know, you'd want to be inclusive and bring people in to the stuff you enjoy.
You would think. And I think in many cases, there are people that say the more the merrier. And like, we want to make sure that everybody feels welcome and involved. But I think that, you know, a lot of what it comes down to with any kind of sense of identity is that you want to feel like you're unique. You want to feel like what you do, what you enjoy makes you stand out in a crowd. And so you want to believe that there's certain rules that only certain kind of people with a level of passion or dedication or, you know, for some people, intellect would be into something that you would be in. And so people do create those barriers, whether it's online or off. I think a lot of it has to do now with, like, with social media, with Twitter in particular, you can, like, really display that and use that as an opportunity to, like, parade your fandom for an audience. I call it performative fandom, and I don't necessarily think of that as a bad thing. I think we all perform our fandom. If you're going to a concert or to a movie or to a con, you want to share that with others and you want other people to know. But I think there's a level of performativity that comes with online culture that people really want to show themselves as the best fan. And so, yeah, especially with Star Wars, where there's so much to consume, I could see why people would say you have to consume all of it before you really call yourself a fan.
Talking to Kedra Chaney about fandom. If you're into, you know, Star Wars or Star Trek or a video game or a board game or it could be classic cars, it could be any kind of hobby that you really get into. What makes one person a true fan, another not a true fan? You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234 if you have thoughts or experiences along these lines. Now, Kedra, there's a stereotype of the fan of this sort of thing, and it's somebody who looks like me a certain number of years ago, a white, youngish guy. What happens when gatekeepers say, yeah, that is us, and people who aren't that try to get in?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that there's always been, or at least traditionally, there's been the stereotype of what a fanboy is. And a fanboy is usually white and male and, you know, a particular kind of geeky person. And that has never really been the case. There's always been diversity in different types of fandom. You can always find different type of people in different communities that have interests. But I think that, you know, in terms of marketing, I think that with marketing in general, there are always certain demographics that are seen as more valuable than others. And with geek franchises and with pop culture in general, that kind of stereotype still applies, where people see a certain type of value demographic and see other demographics as the other. And I think that now more than ever, you're seeing different groups of people really push against that in public spaces. You're seeing a lot of insistence towards diversity, not just in portrayal of media, but also in the representation of fandoms within fan communities. And it doesn't always meet with approval. People aren't necessarily welcomed when that happens, but I think you're seeing more and more different groups of people coming together and either insisting on having that kind of representation in fan communities or creating our own fan communities where different diverse groups of people can communicate with each other and share experiences with each other in our own way.
I wonder sometimes if the hardcore fans end up actually driving content creators, because you see when a Star Wars movie comes out or a new line of a comic book comes out or whatever, and there's something different in it. Sometimes there's that hardcore fan reaction, and the creators of this have to decide, do I cater to these people who we know are going to buy our stuff, or do we try to keep that that outreach out there to everybody else? Do you think that's a quandary for the people who are actually, you know, making stuff?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it is. And I think that, I mean, this is something, it's not specific to geek culture or geek fandom, but you see now with a lot of television shows and movies where the showrunners, the writers, the producers are online really paying attention to what fans are saying, really taking that feedback to heart. On one level, I think it's great that creators are listening to fans, but I think it does get to a point where if a creator is feeling pressured, if not bullied, by certain fans for not going in a direction that fans want to go into, it can be complicated and thorny. And it's not necessarily, you know, this is me coming from the perspective of, like, a Gen Xer, like, so I kind of remember a stage before this. So not necessarily knowing that you were going to get what you want to get as a fan, that there was a kind of a wall and a barrier between fan and creator that meant that you could feel empowered to do your own thing, create your own version of what you would like to see in a piece of media, and feel freedom to do that in your own time, as opposed to pressure the creator themselves to create a storyline that you want to see. I think that's a little bit different, say, than wanting to have a certain representation or diversity within a portrayal versus just wanting to see exactly what you want to see in a storyline, which I think are two entirely different things.
We're talking to Keidra Chaney. She published and co-founded the site The Learned Fangirl. She's written about pop and fan culture for a lot of publications. We're talking about a piece she wrote in Uncanny Magazine. It's called Confessions of an Adjacent Fan.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a hardcore fan of a TV show, a movie series, a game, or are you a fan who's kind of scared off by those really devoted fans? Would you consider being a fan as part of your identity? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Keidra Chaney. We're talking about her essay, Confessions of an Adjacent Fan, for Uncanny Magazine.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you all in when it comes to certain games or movies or TV shows, or maybe a different hobby that's you're not in that pop culture category, but you see this kind of dynamic too? Or do you like things but you don't feel like you're enough of a fan? Do you feel maybe kept at arm's length by those hardcore fans? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Tony is with us in Milwaukee. Tony, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Tony?
So I consider myself a fan mostly of three different sections. One is Harry Potter, and I find myself kind of giving a side eye to people who say, oh, I like Harry Potter. And then I'm just like, oh, what's your favorite book? I'm like, oh, I just watched the movies. So just kind of commenting on how there is sort of that section. But then I also like Doctor Who, but I don't care how many seasons you watched, how long. I'm welcoming everyone with that. And then I also have a third section, which I really like, anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I kind of have a little bit of side eye because I remember kind of growing up and you were the weird kid, you know, when you liked sort of things like that. So I kind of wanted to comment on just, do you think social media has connected all these people, or are they making new fans and making it more available to people?
Tony, thanks for that call. That's interesting, Keidra. Are we making new fans of things like anime with social media, or all those kids who felt like they're the weird kids just finding each other now and being fans together of something like anime?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think that social media has made it possible. So no matter what you're into, you can probably go online and find at least two or three people who like the most obscure thing that you think you had no other person that would be into. I know, like, I'm a big music fan. I'm a fan of a lot of heavy metal groups, and there's groups where I thought I was literally the only fan of a particular group and found, like, five or six people who also like this group. So that does happen, but I also think that it creates new fans. I think that especially with anime, and I think about, like, with K-pop and with a lot of different things where people find out about these different types of pop culture from other people, and it does bring new people into fandoms while connecting other people. And I think that's the positive thing about social media, is that it does allow people to expand their horizons, get into something that they didn't think would be for them, and find an entry point and a connection.
Tony, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Go to Colin now, also in Milwaukee. Colin, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Colin?
I just wanted to say, so I've long been a fan of a lot of things, comic books, Doctor Who, like Tony said she was, a lot of things. But I've always found a lot of openness in my experiences with my friends. And so a couple of years ago, my fiance and I went to a convention, and it really came to a shock to me. We were standing in line, And there were all these fans that were just very rude to my fiance. I think because, I don't know, I just got the sense like they didn't know how to talk to girls, to women, and it really baffled me. She's a much bigger nerd than I am. My favorite superhero is Superman. Hers is Martian Manhunter. So
there you go. Colin, thanks a lot for sharing that. And you hear this kind of story sometimes, Kedra, a woman not feeling welcome in that hardcore geek environment sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's a common story. I mean, especially with some of the geekier things like comic book conventions, comic book stores. There are different environments where just traditionally there's a lot of entrenched sexism, and where women in particular don't necessarily feel welcome. And it's like a boys' club that kind of keeps women out. And I feel like it's better than it used to be, but it's definitely still there, especially in some more traditional enclaves of geekdom, like comic book stores and whatnot. But I think that now you find a lot more cons that are very inclusive and really want to try to make it a safe and inviting and welcoming place for women, for people of color, for all sorts of folks who didn't necessarily feel welcome in different communities before.
Colin, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Kedra Cheney about fandom, being a fan of something in popular culture, why there are gatekeepers out there, whether people feel like they are really fans if they're not hardcore fans. Kedra, we had a caller, I think his name was Brian, who couldn't stay on the line, who said he had been to a convention and been surprised by the diversity he saw there. And I'll say, some years back, I don't go to a lot of these conventions, but I went to one in central Wisconsin, and it was one of the most diverse environments I had seen here. Pretty even gender mix, a fair amount of racial diversity, people with some visible handicaps, people with things identifying them as veterans or active duty military. The reality is, it seems like there's a pretty diverse audience for these things out there.
Yeah, there always has been, and that's the great thing. And I think, as we've been talking about before, with social media, with a lot of different ways for different groups to connect with each other. My experience growing up was this was pre-internet or pre-social media, and so a lot of what I did in my like primarily African-American neighborhood was communicate and talk about geek stuff with kids like me. And it took until I went to college for me to meet other geeks from different backgrounds. Now you don't have to leave your home to meet other people who have the same interest as you, who are very different than you. And you can go to places like cons that are more committed now to having diversity and welcoming diversity. So there's a lot more entry points than there used to be, even like 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, for different diverse groups of people to get together and geek out.
Let's go back to our callers now. Sarge is with us in Eau Claire. Sarge, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Sarge?
Well, I used to own the largest game store in Eau Claire for many years, and I grew up around role-playing games, Doctor Who, comics, pretty much everything that's considered geekdom. Through the years, I see there has been changes in things, especially with social media. Social media does allow a lot more people in, which is really good to the fandom, but at the same time, it's giving a voice to the people that want to be exclusive. So all you hear are the people that want to exclude people. But when people came to my store, everyone was always welcome. And there was never a time when people would say, oh, you don't belong here.
Sarge, thanks a lot for the call. Kedra, there's the voices on social media, as Sarge says, the exclusive voices on social media make a lot of the noise but don't necessarily represent what's really going on out there. Do you think there's something to that?
I think there's something to that. I mean, I definitely think social media lives off of Discord. So the loudest voices do tend to be the ones who want to exclude and want to gatekeep. But I think that, you know, you're going to find inclusion and exclusion everywhere, online, offline. You're going to find pockets that are very welcoming. You're going to find pockets that aren't. And sometimes it's not a harsh exclusion. Sometimes it's, you know, gatekeeping in a friendly way or a faux friendly way, saying like, well, do you really know X, Y, and Z? Doing little things that make you feel excluded and not necessarily saying you don't belong here, but also not making people feel explicitly welcome. So I think it's a little nuanced. I think that you can find people who are loud and who really want to make trouble and to leave people out. But I think you can find even in friendlier environments, places that don't necessarily make fandom feel welcome for people that don't fit a certain type. So I think he's right, but I think that there's a lot of nuances to what it means to be included and excluded in certain communities.
Sarge, thanks for the call. Kedra, you introduced this idea of the adjacent geek in the piece that started this conversation. Are you embracing that role? You know, even if you haven't seen every single episode of whatever the show is, you will embrace that geek adjacent role?
I do. I used to feel a little bad about it and guilty that I kind of have fallen off of my geekdom. But at this point, I really am embracing being geek adjacent and knowing that I can't keep up with everything. But like that my passion is still there. It just may be a little slower than it used to be or slower than other people. They're not as passionate, but it still exists. And I still find, you know, a lot of joy and community in the things that I like. I just, you know, I have room for other things now. So, and I think geek adjacency is something that people should feel comfortable and happy about. It doesn't mean you're less of a fan. It just means you're a different type of fan. And there's room for us all.
Fantastic. Kedra, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
That's Kedra Chaney, a pop culture critic, essayist, and co-founder and publisher of The Learned Fangirl. We talked to her about a piece she wrote. It's called Confessions of an Adjacent Geek in Uncanny Magazine. You can share your story, if you'd like, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.